Season kickoff a little bit later this year than usual, and also a day later than normal because it's a Sunday night concert, not a Saturday night concert. Correct, Ryan Haskins?
That's right. Yep, you got it. Sunday night, regular time. We've got some events taking place beforehand to sort of celebrate the evening, but the concert time is at 7:30 on Sunday.
Okay, so what are some of the events that are coming up that you were talking about?
Oh, well, there's a little reception beforehand, and if they're people who want more information on that, they can call our office and check it out. But just this little bit of a social aspect before the concert. And then, of course, the pre-concert talk that I'll do at 6:45. We're excited to be back and at it.
Now, tell us about Zool Bailey. That's an interesting name.
Yeah, Zool Bailey is a really remarkable young guy. Obviously, just off of his recent Grammy win in 2017 in the spring there for work by Michael Daugherty. Really involved in almost every aspect of classical music as you could be. Not just the concerto soloist, but a teacher and chamber musician. Also, you know, has a wonderful chamber festival himself, chamber music festival himself. So there's a lot going on, really busy guy, but an incredible performer, lots of emotional attachment to the way he presents music, which pretty much is a requirement for this Elgar concerto.
Well, in any piece by cello, it just seems that it's going to be sort of emotional.
Yeah, you know, cello, we always think of, we attribute different instruments in the orchestra to, you know, we sort of bring the human aspect into a lot of those instruments. But, you know, cello is almost always one of those who always represents sort of the human voice. There's that sort of attachment. And, of course, you know, Elgar was pretty smart, obviously, and understood that. And if there's one work that really utilizes that way of expression, it's this concerto.
Talk about now. Getting back to Zool Bailey, he's kind of based out of two different locations, and they're kind of far flung and not thought of necessarily as classical music.
You mean as locales. Texas and as or as Alaska? Is he in Alaska?
Yeah, he's in Alaska and El Paso.
El Paso, yeah. The
very small. I've never heard of the place.
Well,
in Alaska.
The festival in Alaska is something. Actually, it's really remarkable. Good for people who want to jump on a plane and get up there, but throw in the parka too, I guess. You know, not just within his studio in the South and all of the activities, which are really incredible that he's doing up in the northern pocket of the U.S., but, you know, he's a world traveler as well because of this art and because of his style that he's developed. So it's been incredible, and we also have him in town for a masterclass that he's going to be doing on Saturday for a couple of selected young people for a couple of hours on Saturday between 10 and 12 at the First Presbyterian Church downtown. And so they'll each present about 30 minutes of sort of back and forth working with Zool on some pre-selected concerti.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It'll be really cool.
Will that be open to the public?
Yep. Free and open. And great partnership with the Music Federation, who's sort of allowed us to make this possible and open it up to the community. So it'll be great.
Well, okay, let's talk about the other works on the program. We've talked about the Elgar Cello Concerto, and it's in E minor.
Yeah, the concerto is an incredible in E minor. That was your question. Okay. it's an incredible four movement work. Written at the very end of sort of Elgar's compositional career, and towards the end of his life as well. It was just written after the war, the First World War, which was obviously devastating for where he was living.
Mm-hmm. Pretty English much, composer.
Yeah, people waking up the next morning and have never experienced any sort of, you know, when we think about war today, we look back on what's happened, but up until that point, in that modern era, you know, there was no concept of what they were experiencing. And so the hope and dreams that people once had pretty much were eliminated right away. You know, what was to come? That was maybe even more devastating. What the recovery was like, if that even existed.
Right.
And so he was very emotionally affected by by all of that that was surrounding him. And Elgar, you don't think of English gents or ladies as expressive and, you know, sort of a two-faced kind of concept. Not
sort of a stiff upper lip kind of
thing. Yeah, exactly. But not one to sort of emote. Elgar is one of the great emotionally charged composers really out there. And his music sometimes, I think, gets an unusual rap because of just the fact that he's English. But I think, you know, his music can be very easily compared to something like Mahler or even Wagner of this sort of huge sonic impression that he can pull from within an orchestra. It's just incredible sounds and harmonies and sort of haunting melodies, especially in this work.
You're saying he transcends his Englishness?
He absolutely does. I mean, you know, the weird thing about him is that he never belonged anyway, right? He came from very humble beginnings. He wasn't in the sort of the upper crust of everything, although world-renowned composer like he was, people associated him with that. And so he found himself in very awkward positions of social events and teas where, you know, if anything he wanted to do, he just wanted to run away and, you know, sit in a corner. So it was a very unusual life that he had. And he always sort of felt on the outside, him being also Catholic in a very Protestant world at that country. So a lot of things going on, but out of it all, we get this amazing, amazing cello concerto.
Let's talk about, we just have about a minute and a half or so to talk about the remaining two works on the show.
Yeah, so we opened the evening with a work by Leonard Bernstein. Of course, this year, organizations all over the world will be celebrating the 100th birthday of Leonard Bernstein. So we decided to kick off our season with a work that doesn't get played very often just because of orchestration, because of how it's programmed. It's written for essentially a jazz ensemble and solo clarinet. It's entitled Prelude, Fugue, and Riffs. And it's a really cool, you know, under 10-minute sort of work that has every sort of jazz element that you could possibly have written within a classical sort of format, but with four trombones, five trumpets, saxophones, piano, bass, drum kit, and solo clarinet. So it's a really very, very cool piece to start the evening off. And then, of course, the big piece at the end is Zoltán Kodály's Harjános Suite, which is an amazing work of folk music, Hungarian folk music, and we'll be featuring the fascinating instrument, the cymbalum, with Lawrence Kaptan performing that instrument.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I wish we had more time to talk about that.
Well, people will just have to come to the concert,
won't they?
They'll
just have to come to the concert, which incidentally is Sunday night. That's October 1st at 7:30 at the beautiful Orpheum Theater. Pre-concert talk at 6:45.
That's it.
All right. We've been talking with Ryan Haskins, maestro of the Sioux City Symphony Orchestra, music director as well, about the opening night of the 2017-2018 season. For Morning Edition, I'm Steve Smith.
Thank you.